And some of the parents, they're removing Yahweh. See, the parents have removed the Torah and the teaching of Yahweh from their heart. And the children have nothing, no kind of constitution in them. And you wonder why they're twisted, and their minds are twisted, and why they go the way they go. Because we don't reinforce that. Yahweh said, I'm going to reinforce it so that even in the zenith of your thinking, when that thing gets out of line, this right here will bring it back. Look what that says. Read that. It's written there. This will bring that back to where it ought to be. And when this thing right here is moved away from that, because there's a great love for me here, that's what is written. It will remind that what is written, and it will speak that which is written. And so that's what is written in the minds of the children today. These perverted television programs, these shows that twist their mind, they can remember that. They can remember the idols. They can remember all that trash. And they don't even know what Torah is. They don't even know what the Mizrachs are. They don't even know that. They can sing what 50 Cent sings, and then they kind of rap down of a song. They memorize them verbatimly. Every lyric, every note, they know them. And even the wicked mammies and pappies, they sit there and they exalt them to the measures of death. Go on, baby. Go on. Well, that's my sister. She loves me. You're a fool. If a sister or brother loves one, they would tell them the truth. How much he is our brother, isn't he? He's our Messiah. Did he tell us the truth? Did he speak Torah? He told us the truth, didn't he? When someone loves someone, they tell them the truth. You will know you hate someone when you're not honest and straightforward. You will know you don't have love. You will know you do not possess the character of Yahweh Zahavah. I don't care who it is. You will know that. He said that the power of this kingdom shall be this way. It shall be great. It shall rise up, and there shall be this great orator that shall rise up. There shall be this power that come up out of the midst of this great move of Yahweh. And you're going to understand it because it's going to speak. It says in verse 8, listen to this, 7, 8. I consider the horns. And she, there came up among them another little horn, before whom the three that were there were first horn plucked up by the roots, and the kingdoms that have preceded this kingdom have come before this kingdom, the Medo-Persian, the Roman. It's going to be a culmination, an amalgamation, as Evangelist Horn would say, of all of the kingdoms in one, and all of their deprived wicked ways shall be culminated in the power of this fourth kingdom. They had homosexuality under those kingdoms, didn't they? And orgies and every kind of lust for sin. But what is more perverted than it is now? There's nothing. This is a perverted Babylonian, confused, deceived nation. And it feeds your children and you, parents, a rule, a constitution that keeps you even more confused. They keep your mind even more deluded and separated from Yahweh. That's what it does. He said, I saw him plucked up by the roots. He said, this horn, there were eyes like the eyes of a man. Now, you hear that? That comes up out of a beast now. He's going to cause the seed of Yahuwah and Yisrael to be mingled with the seed of the beast and man. Speaks like a man. And he said he had a mouth speaking simple things. Extremely powerful things. Extremely. Beyond the comprehension. People are impressed if someone stands before a crowd of people and they have superlatives and a vocabulary that is beyond their comprehension. They will be impressed with that. Even though they don't understand anything the man said or the woman said. But if someone stands before them and speaks just righteous and just straightforward, they become very dull. They're impressed because they say, boy, he can speak nice. I sure would like to speak like that. No, I want to be like HaMashiach. That's the way this generation can impress them easily. It's very simple to impress this generation. It's a dog generation. The only thing you want to do to make a dog do something, just show them food. Even though I've never worked with those canines out there to really work with them to teach them tricks, I take the food, I say, sit. Boy, for some reason, they understand that sit. They get crazy, old Dusty. You'll get crazy with me. Then I bring them both together and I put the food up and they just jump in. And if I give it to this one, then that other one. I've seen them bring blood from it. Bite them on the neck. And that's the way we are. See, they offer you a little food to control your mind. They feed that dumbed down mind. So people sit there and go. And you become so involved in that. What they're actually doing today. When I was a kid growing, they had what they call three dimensions. You had to wear the little glasses. But they have things today that are so three-dimensional, four-dimensional, six, that it becomes really a reality. The movie houses today, the thing of the past, because no one is going to them. These are synagogues of darkness. These are temples of hell. That's where they inform. That's where they train their priests. You understand? So they're bringing out this dimension down that is, you sit in these whorehouses and you don't look at your screen. Everything is around you. You see something. Ooh! Whoa! You see that man? Actually. They just fly right by you. Woo! The bullets go. They're training them. For the God to be, he's going to declare himself as the only sovereign ruler. And there's going to be only one seat that knows. Only one seat. Only one. That's right, brother. Hallelujah. You may not say it now, but you will say it. Now I want to drop down to the 19th verse because I want to move. I want to finish this. Daniel said, look, he says in verse 19, then I desired, I wanted to know the truth. The truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from the all others. Again, he reminds us that he was exceeding dreadful, causing great oppression of fear. Exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and trampled those that were left with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and the others which came up before whom 3 fell. Even the horn that had eyes and the mouth that speaks. Now he says here very great things. Whose look was more stout than his fellows. He was more prominent. This kingdom here, this government is more prominent. And what the powers that be are doing today, there's no other kingdom that has been able to do that. Every kingdom have explored the mysticisms of the dark worlds and the controlling of the people. But it's no kingdom has perfected it like this kingdom today. They control your buying power. They control your wealth. They control everything about you. They control everything. What you buy, where you live, where you sleep, what you eat, how much sleep you get, how much rest you get. And there's only one purpose in that, to remove a man away from Yahweh, from Torah. From Tanakh, from the covenant of hope. And that is what it does. The jobs, the homes, the families, which are not the families of Yahweh. There's only one family. Yahweh doesn't talk about aunts, nieces, nephews, and grandmothers, and grandpapas. He talks about his people. He talks about sons and daughters of Zion. He talks about Yisrael, the house. That's all he talks about. That is the only thing that is going into the kingdom, the elect of Yahweh. Not grandmamas, not granddaddies, not mamas or daddies, only the true house of Israel. That's all going in. Do you understand that very clearly? Does that make sense? Because that's what scripture teaches. He said he was more stout, he was greater. He said, and I looked and the same horn, and look at this now, and the same kingdom and the power, he made war with who? With only the Kedushims of Yahweh. He's not making war with the world now. He made war. I want to show you something, brothers and sisters. That's why you're having wars in your minds and battles. What do I do about my son or my daughter? Let them go to hell. That's what I say. You're not going to save the perverts. He came to save Israel. The house of Israel. There were 2 came forth out of the same ruin. And there was one that he called Eosaph. That was he. That had the strength of the whole house. All 12 of them. And yet there was one that came out of Yaakov that had the lineage of power and the strength. And the perfection of Yahweh in his heart. He said he went to make war with the Kedushans of the Most High. And he what? And he persuaded them. He was able to persuade them successfully. Have you been persuaded today? You've been persuaded by your emotions? You've been removed from the truth of Yahweh because of some emotion? Yes, you have. And he was able to persuade them. He was able to overcome them. He was able. He made war with them. And he prevailed. You can deny what it says here, but it says this. He was able to persuade successfully. Have you been persuaded by your emotions?
Have everything that persuade you. You know what the Torah says. You know what the Torah teaches. And you persuade it some other way. Don't sit in your hypocrisy. Don't sit in your high chair. False look. Yahweh says, my mercy and truth is iniquity purge. And whatever we purge until you identify truth and the issues of your own heart. He was able to persuade them. Only with the Kedushim he made war. He has the world in his hand. He got the mind's control. He got the control of the minds. He got the heart's control. Believe me, brothers and sisters. His war is not against the world. It's only against the people of Yahweh. He wants to make war with them. Because there is something that the true seed has. And that is something written in them. And it's of great value. It's worth more than the gold and silver. It is of such great value that he doesn't care about the gold or the silver. He wants that. This is a pure gold that has been tried by the fire. It is silver tried seven times. It is pure. It's nothing more pure than the Torah. Nothing more pure than the mitzvahs. And every religious Jezebel, every mindset today rejects that. It tears it out. It rips it out, doesn't it? They went to make war with the Kedushims, the people of Yahweh, the seed, the elect according to the mercies of Yahweh. That's who he's going to make war with. He went to make war with them. And Yahweh says, until the Ancient of Days, until there was a period of time, and judgment was given unto his, unto the Kedushims of the Most High, and the time came that the Kedushims possess. We're going to possess the kingdom, all right? And that's some pie in the sky. We're going to possess the kingdom. It will come a time they're going to possess the kingdom. And look at this in verse 23. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the Olam, the earth, which shall be diverse, different from all kingdoms, and shall devour some of the world. What? So I don't care if you're in Africa or China, this kingdom is going to devour. It's going to take control successfully. The whole world is going to take control. And it's doing that in the mind, the spirit of man. Do you all hear me? It takes control. It's going to... When I was in Kenya, I've never seen nothing like it. Some of the most poverty enslaved people. Poor. They did not have the organized infrastructure like we do. You understand what infrastructure is? The roads, the telephone lines, and the electrical lines, and bridges and things, and hospitals, what they call infrastructure. And as I would go to these poor places, I would look and they would have wobs of wire, like little strands of wire, something that big, something hanging on these little poles, no higher than 10 feet. And you look at the homes, every house, it amazed me more than anything. Every house, can I tell you what they had? They had a television, an antenna, every house. That's why this thing is going to devour the whole world. And this thing is devouring the whole world. It is one of the most damnable, insidious powers that be. It is the birth of Shaitan. It is the birth that has brought in every kind of deception, every kind of spirit it is into the homes, into the minds of the people. Say what you will. Can I tell you this little story? There was a very precious friend of mine many years ago. He turned against me now because I said his wife was not a preacher. He said to me, he said, I want to tell you something, my brother. He was in the military. His wife shot him. He stayed in the hospital for 6 months. He almost died. He said, he sat with me about six hours one day weeping and just weeping. He said, one day, I was watching television, HBO. He had a daughter. She was only about 12 years old. She was skinny as a rail. She was a child. Didn't even have breasts or nothing like that. It was a stepdaughter. He said, I will tell you. He said, I don't know what happened. I was watching this kind of perverted show on HBO. He said, I fell asleep. He said, the next thing I knew, I didn't even know I was there. I was there in her bedroom. I was doing these things. He said, I don't even know I was there. I didn't even know. And I found myself back on the couch watching this thing. I was in like a trance. Then when I woke up, I didn't realize what I had done. He said, and again, the very same thing. My wife came home. She was a nurse. He said, she came and she spoke to me. Hi, honey. She gave me a kiss. I'm watching television. This kind of semi-pornography. He said, and I went to sleep and I woke up. And it was almost, I was walking in a trance. And I walked to her room again. I put my hand on her dress. He said, if my wife walked in, she looked at me and she called my name, Malcolm. And he said, I woke up and I didn't realize what I was doing. And she never let that down. One day he came over, she went poop, 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 boom. And so the power of that spirit, it controlled that man. And that's what he's doing. How can we spend 10 hours watching that? 6 hours all day, and no time for refreshing the Torah of Yahweh or his life in us. Come on. And if I allowed that damnable thing here, all of you will go out and get something like that. You're not going to do it here. You go out there and do it. You will not do it here. You bring it in here, believe me, we will find out. He's not going to leave me in the blind on that one. It'll come to pass. Hallelujah, Yahweh. He said, until the ancients of days, this power shall rule, it shall devour the whole Olam, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. I don't care where you go, it's going to get you. I don't care if you're in Russia, it's going to be there. It's there already. It's in the heart of them people. It's this beastly seed that's in the heart of man. I know that many are looking for a physical. It's going to be a physical kingdom because we're going to bring all the subjects into a collective government rule. And they're going to receive the mark of the power. But it must be established in the minds of the people to receive this. And this world is ready to do it today. It's ready. And the rich and the powerful, those that have an alliance and a constitution with the powers of darkness, they run. They don't care about the white trash or the black trash. You understand that? They don't care about you. Makes no difference who you are. There's a world order, there's a group of those that have the power shot on. They have an allegiance, they have his constitution, that there's a covenant with him, and they're going to rule in this realm until judgment is given unto the traditions of Yahweh, and then all things, Yahweh the kingdom infrastructure shall be changed. Only then. So he tells his subjects today, get rich. God wants you to be rich. He wants you to have houses and homes and to have Cadillacs, and they are deeply oppressed and so pressed that they are burdened down. They're bogged. And that's how this dog, he's terrible. He's dreadful. He works them that way. He drives them. He terrifies them. Now, every kind of prescription drugs there is, Prozac, feeding the children this cocaine lace, opium based drug to control their attitude. And Yahweh tells you what to feed them. The rod of correction. That's what he tells you to feed them. Put that on their cute butts. Hallelujah. Drive that damnable thing out of them. That vile thing in their heart. You want it out. Prozac is going to strengthen it. You understand that? And they got all these little black kids in these schools in these inner cities on Prozac and every kind of drug it is. These ignorant parents say, well, we're going to have to do that or he can't come to school. Well, she's going to have to. They taught sexual education when I was in school in the higher grades. And we did not have the immorality and the pregnancy we have today. They teach them homosexual life and everything. What parent will want to put their children in something like that? What any true parent, I tell you all your parents, I don't care whether you like me or not, why would you want to strengthen a daughter or son's hand to go to these institutions of death that kills any kind of life of Yahweh in them? They're causing them to think and a mind that is beastly and not as spiritual. You're twisted in your damned of a mind. It's not of Yahweh. It's not of Yahweh. He told you to train them up in the truth of the Torah. And you're so damnable, corrupted, and so wicked, you don't realize your damnable wicked ways. That's the way they seem right, but it's still wrong. You teach them the principles of Yahweh. He says that they teach them how to till the ground and toil. And teach the young women how to be mothers and how to be wise and how to take care of their husband. That's why you haven't learned to do it. Because you don't know how to do it, you can't teach them. I don't care if you don't like me. They destroyed Hamashiach's flesh, didn't they? That's all right. Joel said, when I first came, no man stood with me, so it makes no difference. We got to understand what truth is. We walk too long in the folly of our mind. We've all given that power, that strength in the inward parts. I want to show you something, the spirit of this leader. Now look at this. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. This is what he's going to do. Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, 25. This is the spirit, the power of this leader. And the world today, this is what they're doing. Folks are warned. Look what it says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Does it say that in your book? Does it call him the Most High? Well, he is the Most High, isn't it? He is not beneath you or beneath your circumstances. He is the Most High. Shall speak great words. Now, not just any kind of words, but great words against the Most High. And look what he shall do. And he shall wear bela. He shall bela. Bel. He shall wear. And that is simply to harass constantly, to wear down, to burden you down. That's what the spirit of this age does, doesn't it? Does it wear you down? You're tired and you don't even know why you're tired. You wonder why you're so tired. But I just don't feel like nothing today. Why? You know, the day I wasn't feeling good. The other morning, I was really. I think what it is sometimes that when Sister Roberts brings my dinner, I leave it out and it sits in that hot house. And then you can't eat that stuff like that. And of course, I ate it. I said to her that morning, I mean, everything was spinning around. I don't know what it was. I didn't feel good at all. I didn't. That's a proper law of food preparation. And you don't set it out in the sun at 80 degrees, 86 degrees in the room, and then sit out there all day. And so somewhere I probably got a little, some food poisoning. I know that's what happened. I said, I won't do that again, Yahweh, because I don't like to feel bad. When I feel bad, I feel bad. I'm the worst person to be around when I feel bad. Say hallelujah, Sister Robert. Hallelujah. I don't even want you praying for me at time. She came to pray for me. Yahweh bless Pastor Roy. Woman, just leave me alone. I don't feel good. Just go home then. We're such hypocrites. No, I didn't want Sister Roberts to pray for me. No, I'm nothing. I didn't feel good. I felt bad. Called Deacon Bennett and said, Deacon, I just feel bad, brother. I'll be out, though. At 12 o'clock, I'm feeling good, though. It took a little work in the old body to get me right. But Yahweh brought me back, all right? But I felt bad. And when you feel bad like that, it just wears on you. It wears on you emotionally, spiritually. You can't pray. Come on, you don't want to pray. You say, I'm going to pray. You don't want to pray. You may get down there with some false words, but no prayer. It's not a great connection with the Abba. And so he shall wear down, he shall wear, harass constantly out who? The world or the Kiddushin? The Kiddushins of the Most High. And this is it. And he shall think to change times. He's already done that. You can't get the people together on earth in a day. You got the lunar Sabbatarians. You got the lunar Shabbats. You got the Nauvians. You got the white superior Hebrews. You got every kind of thing it is. And they all got their days and their times. He just think to change time. Yahweh has given us a set time and a certain pattern. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. On the seventh day, he rested. He said, think to change times and what? And what? And Torah. And they have changed the Torah, have they not? The mind shut of people today, there's no life, there's no inward writing or the power of the Torah in them. And they shall be given into his hand. Now, in order for something to be given, it is the power want to grant that and to bestow it. Yahweh said we're going to be given. That's all right, long as I know he's given me. Do you all hear that? He said, and they shall, the Kiddushim, shall be given into, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. Just for a season. He's going to allow them a great period of time, 3.5 years, they shall be given into his hand. And after that, judgment shall be given unto the Kiddushim. Now they go, he's going to seek to wear out. The scripture says that he shall wear out, or he shall be there. He shall harass constantly, or wear them down. Yahweh, you're going to trust him one way or the other. The true people, because you're going to only have that which in you to sustain you. How do you know that, preacher? I know what I'm saying because Gileana, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, Gileana 12:11. It says to me, the only way we're going to overcome. And this enemy, that's why he's trying to take this from the heart and trying to smudge it out. That's why the people, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the Moeds, the feast days of Yahweh, very vital. His Shabbat. You don't go out and give allegiance to the world on the Shabbat. You don't defy the Torah for the world. Brother Michael was telling me a situation his wife was in. She said to that people, I will not defy the Moeds or what Yahweh command. You take this and shove it, in essence. Now, we don't have that kind of strong resolve for Yahweh because there's nothing in us. I don't care who it is. Let the job go to hell. Let them take house, farm, everything. You uphold truth. And the true Kedoshim, his stuff is there. They won't let anyone defy it. It says in Revelation 12 and 11, that this, I don't care whether you believe it or not. And they overcame him by the blood of Hamashiach, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. He said, you shall die for your own iniquity. And they did not love their lives even for dying the death because of their own iniquity. They were warned. They were tried. And they contemplated. They questioned Yahweh. Do you ever question Yahweh? You've tried him. You've tempted him. You provoked him. If that is why, tell me why. Tell me. If he told you the answer, why you still won't receive it? Why don't you say that? But give me something else. No, he tells us why. We sow something, we're going to reap it. You can bank on that one. You sow corruption in other flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You do something in a corrupt way, brothers and sisters, you're going to reap corruption. That's just it. Period. You sow to the root of the spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. You sow to the things that Yahweh has put in there, you eat from that instead of the sour grapes. You're going to reap from that. And that's always true. They overcame him because they have a testimony that they have something written in their heart and their mind. It's written there. That's our testimony, that we have the life of Torah. That's our testimony. Oh, everybody say, I believe that Jesus Christ died, he rose up. I believe that these perverts, even in that, they don't believe. Our testimony is that we have something written in us. And Hamashiach came to give us evidence that it's true. He came to Israel to let them know that it is true. That's why you can't reject this profound witness of truth that Hamashiach gives unto us. He is the hope of Israel. Without that witness, we have no hope. He brings us to the Abba. He said, I'm going to be your Abba, not your stepdaddy. I'm going to be the one in charge. And a true Abba, is he not in charge? What a man is the daddy of the house, he's in charge. I don't care what children say anything, he's in charge. He's in charge. I've seen daddy say, get out, get out, get out, get your clothes. I was talking to the brothers the other day, Elder Martin, the other day we were talking about soul dressing for shoes. And so I said to Brother Dale, Brother Dale's young. I said, Brother Dale, you soul dress? Yes, sir. Well, I know where he got that from. His daddy. Because Earl's a neat man, sharp and clean, likes to dress nice in his shoes. Come on. I looked at Brother Dale. I didn't say that to him then. I said, I know where he got that from, his daddy. I was thinking about that this morning. I said, you got that from his daddy. You think Earl is going to go outside with his shoes, heel skin up and all that? No, he's not going to do that. He probably got all colors of soul dressing. Come on, young man like that don't even know what soul dressing is with you. They don't go that way. He learned that from his daddy. He learned that from his avat. Taught him those things. And that's what our Abba wants to do. Teach us the principles of his mitzvot, his Torah, his Tanakh. That's what he wants to do. His wisdom. We reject that for some kind of beastly power, some beastly kingdom. That's the only way you're going to overcome, by the testimony. And that Peshach blood, that tov of Hamashiach. It is the most visible thing in your life. Bloodstained. He gives us a great inspiration in the 12th chapter of the same book. And verse 17. It says, and this beast, this dragon, was angry with the woman, the assembly, the Kedushims. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. We are the remnant of that seed. Because we have the Torah written. We have the covenant of Yahweh renewed. That is alive. It's real. He said, now he went to make war with those which keep what? The mitzvahs, the commandments of Yahweh, and have what? The testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. There are those that have the testimony of HaMashiach, but they don't have the mitzvahs. There are those that have the mitzvahs, don't have the testimony of HaMashiach. He said that there's a witness of my truth. And HaMashiach is a witness of the mitzvah, because the mitzvah witness that he is the living power of my truth. And so he went to make war with him. So this is a generation that doesn't possess either of them. Most of the people don't possess either. There are those that they confess with their mouths and with their tongue, but the scripture said their heart is far from him. They confess they love him. They confess they walk in his truth, but the livability of the life of that is far from their heart. It's not in the love. That's why Yahweh tells you to save yourself from this untoward, this wicked generation. Deliver yourself. Don't be caught up in it. Well, preacher, why is this coming? Why do you think this kingdom has been set up, brothers and sisters? Can I show you quickly? Turn quickly to the book of Amos. Amos. I want to show you why. Amos chapter 2.
That's why judgment is going to come. That's why we're going to see this great terror overtake the world because of this. Now, there are other reasons, but this is the gist of the reason why it's all going to come to pass. Look what it says in Amos chapter 2, verse 4. It says, this says the Melechim. Amos 2 and 4. This says who?
Yahweh.
Say it so I can hear you.
Yahweh.
This says Yahweh. Now, this is not what Dave Roberts says, is it? This is not what Benny Honeycutt says, is it? This is not what Jermaine Horn says, you right? Dale Ray, you don't. Oh, this is what Eldon Horn says. Now, this is what Yahweh says. He says, for three transgressions, we know sin is a transgression of the Torah, right? For three transgressions of Yehuda, and for four, look at the numbers here. Fourth kingdom, the fourth transgression. This is the fourth most notorious transgression upon the face of the earth. And there's no kingdom that has transgressed like this kingdom. That's why this fourth beast is going to be like no other beast. And for four, will I not turn away punishment thereof? That's why this fourth power, this kingdom, is going to be established. Because in this period of time, Yehuda, the transgression is greater than ever before. He said, that's why judgment is going to be turned away. Because they have loved. Because they have loved. Because they have loved. They have loved. They have despised what? The Torah of Yahweh. And have not kept his statutes. And their lies caused them to err. What caused you to err? Your lies, your slander, your devouring. They have not kept the Torah. They despise the Torah. This generation, you think it loves the Torah? It despises the Torah, doesn't it? It doesn't want to do what Torah says. We despise Torah teaching. Because it always deals with your iniquity. Torah always deals with your transgression. It always, it shows you where you're lacking. Where you need to pull up. And the only hope we have is HaMashiach is the reassurance. He's our reassurance. He said that they despise the Torah. They have their lives have crossed in the air, which their avats have walked in. Daddy walked in lies. You walk in lies. Baptist preacher told you lies, so you hold on to the lies. Pentecostal preacher told you lies, you hold on to the lies. The UPC told you lies, so you walk, hold on to those lies. Just as the mother saw the daughters, just like this religious Hoyas saw all of her daughters. They're religious Jezebels. They're religious whores. They're prostitutes. And they sell you, they pimp you, they pimp your mind, they prostitute your mind. They make you go out there and labor. Doesn't a prostitute go out there and work for the things she lusts for? Isn't that what the world's causing the people to do today? Go out there and labor 40, 50, 60 hours a week just for the things they lust for? Isn't it the same thing? So as the mother, so is the daughter. So that's what we're out there for, that purpose alone. That we're not, come on, you can't please Yahweh that way, brothers and sisters. I can't sugarcoat this. I must tell us the truth. It's going to take this to enter into the kingdom. You're not overcoming. Well, I don't believe it. Then don't even listen to it. Don't even adhere to it. I certainly will not cramp my style. I will find me a place where I can fulfill every form of lust I wanted to. Believe me, I will fulfill every form. I don't care how bizarre, how crazy it seems. I will go ahead and go for it. He said, because they have cast my Torah behind their backs, they have erred because of their lies, and you shall see a great judgment upon the people. Turn back quickly to Revelation 16 and 8. We're still dealing with this fourth beast, now no other kingdom. Now look at what is synonymous with this fourth beast. In Revelation, Giliana 16, 8. The fourth beast, look at what is synonymous with it. It has a great interlude here. It says in Revelation 16, 8, and the fourth Melech poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And they blasphemed the name of Yahweh, which had power over these plagues. And they all repented. And they repented not to do what? To give him honor. And this is the generation that would not give him honor. We see what is taking place. We see what is taking place throughout the world. I was talking with one of the brothers yesterday, other day. I was telling him how the people in India, they're dying like flies because of the heat. 150 degrees in the shade. Their bodies just totally dehydrate. We're going to see a drastic, powerful demonstration of Yahweh's power in this nation here. We're going to see it. People are dying because they don't even have water to drink. There's no clean water to drink. Their little brooks are dried up. And then when the monsoon comes, they drown. They just die because their little shanty towns are washed away. Their shacks.
feces rise up and diseases and every kind of unclean thing comes up. The diet. We sit back in this nation, in this fat, greedy nation of Jezebels and prostitutes. We prostitute our souls just for some emotional feel. Thank you, brother. So we prostitute ourselves with some kind of little emotional feel. Parents will sell out the truth of Yahweh for some emotional, to be entrapped with some of the emotional or some kind of feeling there. The emotions have overtaken them. Well, that's my son. That's what scripture says. If they hear the word of Yahweh and do his will, same as my son, brother, sister, mother. Hallelujah, Yahweh. They blaspheme Yahweh. This is the generation that blaspheme. It doesn't show Yahweh in an honor. And the fifth Malach poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And the kingdom was full of darkness. We can see the mind today is full of darkness. When I was a kid growing up, at least there was aliveness to us. This is a generation is lazy, is shiftless. I don't care what you say. Have no energy. When I was a young lad, 15, 16, I'd roll all day long. These young lads, they look for someone to sit down. I was energized. I didn't eat as well as they eat today because we didn't have the kind of food. Mama didn't have money. Summertime came, we picked pork salad. Had collard greens out there. And, cabbages. You see, we had plenty of cabbage. You could buy cabbage for 15 cents a head back then. My mother could cook a pot of cabbage and one chicken and put a little gravy and a little rice and basically the basic staples. She got the surplus and we had beans, a lot of beans, pinto beans and stuff like that. But there was an energized, euphoric about us. This generation is shiftless and lazy. Has no energy. Period. You might as well say, help me, Yahweh. He said, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue with pains. And they blasphemed Yahweh of the Shemayim, because their pain and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. Now, all of this, this mighty display of Yahweh, this is a generation that has no repentance. It is not deeply sorrowful for its sins. Brothers and sisters, you are in that kingdom of darkness when even the pains, in the sense that this metaphor presents unto us the pains, that you will cause one another. And it doesn't cause a deep sorrowfulness of tears and repentance upon you. Something is twisted in your mind. You have a twisted mindset. You have a twisted conscience. It is the conscience of darkness because darkness permeates your mind. It is the spirit of Ichabod whereby the Ruah of Yahweh doesn't dwell here. And you blaspheme Yahweh because you will not repent and say, I'm rogue and I'm sorry. That is a blasphemous man, a woman, a very injurious person. And they will not repent. It's not a generation that repents. Oh, they will tell you they're sorry for the moment, but there's no true repentance. Those saying the proverb sorry is saying, I'm sorry, never to say it again. You did something wrong, you say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, I will never do it again. That's what sorry, that was an old proverb. In the midst of every community. Sorry is being sorry whereby you say it one time, you won't do it again. Parents would tell us that. If you're sorry, then you won't do it again. Sorry, don't say you're sorry because you're not sorry, you do it again. When you're truly sorry, when there's a great repentance, you will not do that again. This kingdom, the power of this kingdom controls this generation in such a dynamics that even parents are blind, the children are so blind, and they're like drunk men, dark men, walking in a kingdom of darkness. They can't see, they can't comprehend, they don't understand. Their minds are removed from Yahweh because there's no constitution there to govern them. A man in a country legal, and he get caught by the law, then what kind of constitution that is, does he stand on? He can't stand on the constitution of that country, neither can he stand on the constitution of the country that he left. So he's just at the mercy of the magistrates. And that's what you are at the mercies of, the powers of hell. And believe me, they have no mercies. They show no kindness and no strength at all. But I want to give you that are truly the seed of Israel. I want to give you a hope. I want to give you a reassurance. I want to close with this verse here. It says in Revelation 14 and 12. This is your strength. This is your ability to be steadfast, to endure, to be constant in the walk, to be patient, to have a deliberate purpose and a desire in your heart, to be loyal to the faith of Yahweh, to be loyal to Yahweh, to keep fast the sayings of HaMashiach. This is your strength. In Revelation, Giliana 14:12. Here is the patience. Here's your steadfastness. Here is your ability to wait. Here's your consistency, your constancy, your endurance. Here is your character. Here is the patience of the two oceans. Here are they which keep. You must keep the mitzvahs of Yahweh and the faith now. And the faith of Yahshua HaMashiach, this is your strength, this is your hope, this is your endurance, this is your power today. That you have that kept in your heart, which is written by Yahweh. And you have the faith, the faith. HaMashiach said, think not I've come to destroy the Navis of the Torah, but I came to fulfill it. He said, that faith caused us to fulfill the lively hope of the Torah. The truth of Yahweh that He has put in Yisrael and Yahuda. That's your ability to wait without murmuring, without complaining. The ability to go through, to be constant in your walk, to be consistent in your walk, to hold fast to the things of the Emunah of Yahweh. That's your strength. And nothing else. Without that, this kingdom that controls the minds today and that its tentacles reach in every part of the world. And every part of the world is going to be overtaken and is already overtaken by it. This is the only strength that you as the Kiddushims, the people of Yah, that you possess. That you keep the mitzvah and you have the faith of HaMashiach. And we know that the spirit of HaMashiach or the testimony of HaMashiach is the spirit of prophecy. What do you mean? These things shall be. That is the spirit of HaMashiach. Because they shall come to pass. It shall be your strength is that you keep the mitzvahs and this testimony. May Yahweh bless you. May He strengthen you. May He cause your heart to rise with great delight. And may He assure you today that His word is true. And without this, we're not going to make it in, brothers and sisters. We do greet you all that are listening by the live stream. We do bless you all. We pray that Yahweh give you strength, cause your heart to be assured today. Cause you to delight in what He expressed unto you, for it is for your own good. And that He may cause you to worship Him in the Ruah and in truth, and may cause you to delight greatly. I do want to read three letters to you all, but there's one that I want to read, and then I want to put this on the web that others may hear, because it is one of the most dynamic little letters. When I began to read it, I began to weep, so I couldn't read the letter all the way through. So I gave it to Sister Roberts to read to see if it had the same effect on her that it had on me. Because I let her read the letters. And so when she read it, I could sense the very same effect. I haven't read it, but I want to read this letter to you. But I want to read you all a couple of letters. And then I want to read this letter before I close. I want to read this one. I want Brother Pat with this one. Not this one, but with this one, I read this one. I want to put a little music to it because I want... She asked me if I would read the letter. She's only 15 years old. Beautiful little daughter. I want you to hear what she said, but I want to read these letters first. Here's a brother that writes me. He says to me, he says, Shalom, my brother. Our Abba worked in mysterious and wonderful ways. My brother in Kodesh phoned me from Calgary last Shabbat. And we talked for about 2 hours. With all the burdens upon my heart, most of our conversation centered on the relationship I have with my wife. I spoke openly and freely to my brother and shared all my thoughts and concern with him. I finished the call and went downstairs. As I walked through the kitchen, my wife said to me, I heard every word you said. It seems that she was listening to the whole conversation on the other line. I thought to myself, that's interesting. You see, I would never be able to share all that information with her on a one-on-one basis. So at least now she knows everything that is on my heart. I feel better in the sense that our physical and daily relationship has improved somewhat. She actually lets me kiss her now. Some wives, they don't want to kiss their husband. They don't know how to greet them. However, the root problem still remains the same. We are spiritually disconnected. A strictly physical relationship
is not really what I had in mind when I signed up for this deal. He said, it's only based upon sex. That wasn't what I thought it was going to be when I signed up. He says, but that's my friend, is what I got. If this is a burden our Abba wants me to bear, then so it be. At least now there's relative peace in my home. I have to get some sleep, my brother. 4 a.m. comes early. May Yahweh bless you and keep you, my brother. Praise his Kodesh name. A brother writes me for Canada. This is a brother, and I want to show you the spirit of this age. Wives, I warn all of you all, your husbands too. Man, never allow the wife to remove you from the righteous place that Yahweh placed you. And wife, don't try to remove from your seat. Listen to this brother here. Now, this brother sends tremendous offerings. Last week, he sent $800. When he sent offering, he sent $700, $800. He doesn't send $50, $100. Which every dime you that listen is appreciated. But he sent tremendous offerings when he sent. He writes me, he says, Pastor Roberts, I listen to your messages day after day. I just cannot get enough of the truth. You see, I live with a people that say they love some king or some kind of a god, but they are of their father, the devil. I am the only Shabbat keeper where I live. My wife is of this world, and I swear, my mother-in-law is the devil himself. But that is fine with me because all they do is make me stronger each day with the help of Yahweh Almighty. Pastor Roberts, just like Yahshua said, his house will serve Yahweh. I am saying I will serve Yahweh. Listen to this. Even if my family leaves me. And that is the truth, and I believe it. Because undoubtedly, I don't know what kind of work this brother does, but the checks that he sent, I showed Deacon many of the, I think that they're bills when they come, and many times, two times, I'm going to throw them away. And when I open them, they're professionally done. Not like a check that I would write to pay the bill. He said, and that is the truth. Pastor, one last thing. He said, I do not talk a lot, but I like to do that which what I am good at. So if you ever need my help, although we do not know each other, but we know each other, let it be known. Bless you, my dear friend, Pastor Roberts. We've never met each other, but he sent tremendous offerings all the time. These brothers know. I'm not talking about $100, or $50, $200. He sent $500. One day, last week, he sent $500. The next day, he sent $300. That's the kind of money he sent. And Yahweh has a group of faithful ones that they're consistent. The telephone bill just for this month is $520. So that'll take that $500 offering, wouldn't it? Come on here, somebody. Sure will. That's just for the T1 line and the connections and all of that. It costs. So that those people that are listening now, you that are listening, so you can hear the broadcast. It costs. Nothing is cheap today. And this T1 line we got is one of the least expensive ones they sell. The other ones were from $400 to $700, $800, $900, $1,000 for one telephone line. And because we're in the rural setting, we were able to get something cheap. I want to read this letter. This is a precious letter here. Precious little daughter. She says, Dear Pastor Roberts, good afternoon. I love your preaching. Keep it up. I'm 15 years old. My mother walked out on us when I was 7. My big brother was 10 years old, and my little brother was 4. All because my dad learned the name of Yahweh and about the Shabbat. We were living in Texas then, before we were a Baptist member.
5 months after we moved to North Carolina, my mom moved out. And she lives in Charlotte with a Baptist preacher. Then she left the Baptist preacher and met someone else. I told my mom she is a whore. And I don't spend weekends with her anymore. She dressed me the way she dressed herself. Last year, my dad met a young lady from Alabama. She told my dad about you. And she brought us some of your CDs. And one that caught my attention is Examine Yourself. I told my mom about the CD. She said nothing is wrong in the way people dress. They can wear anything they want. She says, Pastor, I don't want to be like her. So I pray that Yahweh send my dad a righteous wife. He met this one from Alabama who gave us your CDs. See, Pastor, this woman teaches me how to dress, how to cook, how to eat, to be a woman. She loves my dad very much. Whenever she comes by our house, she always finds something to do. She cooks, she cleans, she washes, she irons. I told my dad, Yahweh sent this lady to him. This lady, Pastor Roberts, dressed natural. No fancy clothes. She don't wear nail polish. Nor does she polish her toes. I'm learning to dress like her, Pastor. So please pray for us. She says, but Pastor, my dad's female friends keep calling him and telling him that this woman is not his type. Pastor, this woman has the righteousness of Yahweh. The only thing is she's short. Her dad is 5'11", and she is 4'11". But I love her very much. My dad, when he goes to his friends, and we go to the supermarket, and his friends ask him, who is this lady? And he says, she is my sister in Yahweh. And if they say anything, Father, he said, no, only sister in Yahweh. So I told my dad, because of lying to people who this woman is to him, or else Yahweh will take her away and send him one who pretends to love Yahweh. And then in the end, it turned bitter. So, Pastor, I would like you to warn all the men of Yahweh who's out there lonely looking for a righteous woman. Whenever they find such a woman, don't be ashamed of her. Don't matter how short she is, just to thank Father Yahweh for sending such a woman to them and give Father Yahweh the honor and the praise because they are ashamed of the righteous woman they found there. She says, Shaltan will praise them for it. Pastor, please read my letter to warn the righteous man and also the righteous woman who's found a righteous man, not to be ashamed of him.
I'm listening to her. My letter read on your CD. I want you. Pray for me and my family, Pastor. And I love you. Say hi to the congregation. My name is Mary Johnson. My dad is Melvin Johnson. My dad is 63 years old. And this lady is 54. And I am 15. I love you, Pastor Roberts. My dad was baptized in the house of Yahweh when we're in Texas. He has a brother who is an elder of the house of Yahweh. He is going to marry Dad on the 18th of June. He is going to marry my dad on the 18th of June. And she says to me, "Bye, Pastor." What a tremendous little heart. Yahweh has touched at a young age. I want you to bow your heads. Almighty Yahweh, as we, since the innocence of this young child, I pray. You never answered a prayer. I pray that you touch her, keep her all the days of her youth. I bless you for this sister. I would teach her to be a daughter of Zion. I pray, Yahweh, that you raise up your daughters to teach them, as this precious sister, as he teaches her what is proper, how to dress, how to adore herself to please you. I ask you to touch the young sister Mary Johnson, her daddy, and the sister as well, Yahweh. I thank you that she was able to hear the broadcast and able to record it for her, that her little young faith may be reassured. Her brothers, keep them, I pray, Yahweh, and bless her. Cause her to be strong and to be raised up like a daughter of Sharia. And then she labor for you all the days of her life as she waits. Teach her the responsibility of a precious daughter. And bring her to the light of all that you desire for her. We trust you to give her that strength. Such a poignant letter. So wonderful, and her heart is so moved, Yahweh, because of her youthfulness and the soundness of her words. My, as he appreciates the sister, mother, a mother indeed, to teach her what a daughter should be like. And that's what you command the sisters to do, Yahweh. Teach the young women how to do those things, and to love their husbands, and to be a wife, to be kind, and to consider all your ways. So bless her, I pray. Keep her on her face. Keep her heart in love with you, Yahweh. And I trust you for that, for our precious little sister. And may she hear this prayer, Yahweh. May her father and the precious sister that had the wisdom and understanding to give her that message, examine yourself, that we all must do. We ask it all in your sure mighty name, the hope of Israel. We bless you, and we do thank you. And all of his people cried, hallelujah, well. Hallelujah. Don't forget, tonight we began Pentecost. Brother Allen will teach tonight. We'll have service at 7. Have a wonderful rest tomorrow. And then we'll allow Brother Pat and the singers to come and sing in the morning. We'll have a wonderful day. So you that are listening, join us again this evening as Brother Allen will teach tonight. And we'll have a wonderful time, because his moeds are very vital and important unto him. It's our dedication, our faithfulness unto Yahweh. Yahweh bless you all. Let us stand to our feet. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Come on, Brother Patrick.
Let there be love.
We sing this to you, our young sister Mary, your family.
To let there be love in our lives. May now your love sweep this house. Cause us your way to arise. Give us a fresh understanding. Brotherly love, that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Come on and grab your neighbor's hand and sing it with great emphasis.
So let there be love shared among us.
We greet you all, wherever you're listening. May the shalom of Yahweh bless you today, and may his words be a strength to your hearts. May there be a great love for his truth
that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Come on, look your neighbor in the eyes. Ah, yes.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our lives. May now your love sweep this house. Cause us your way to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Come on, one more time, every heart.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Bless you all this Shabbat. Be encouraged, all you that are listening. You that we do not know your name, bless you and we thank you. Yahweh keeps you all today and bless you. The remainder of the Shabbat, and as we are into Pentecost.
Arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
For your name is excellent, Yahweh. We thank you for your presence today. For you declared that you are known by your Ruah of judgment. And we thank you for your judgment in the midst of this tabernacle. As we gather here today, we bless you for the safety driver, Brother Michael, Sister Michaela, and young Alex, as you brought them safely down the highways. Bless them and cause their hearts to be enriched today, and that this experience may cause them to delight in Almighty Yahweh. Help your people, those that are listening by the live stream, bless them. Help us here. Again, bless young Sister Mary, and may your shalom and the power of your strength sweep over that home because of her forthrightness and the innocence of her love for you. Bless her and keep her. And keep us all this day as we rest, as we come to the delight of Pentecost, this time of great anointing. Anoint us all to bless you and to worship. We ask it all in the mighty name of HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. And all the people cried, Hallelujah. Hallelujah.